love it when God intervenes and does something even more than you could imagine. And I think as I listened to Betty's testimony today, that's what I heard happening. God just intervening and giving a confidence and giving life in a situation that was obviously a struggling situation. And it's an amazing testimony and something that I'm sure we've all been encouraged by. There's no doubt that God did something very wonderful for Betty and did something wonderful for Ron as well in that same moment and has done something wonderful for all of us because of what we've just heard. One of the things that often happens though is as God intervenes and does great things, we're not always left with this idea of being thankful. And we need to make sure that we aren't a people who just accept stuff happens without having a thankful heart. Yesterday had a beautiful moment. I was making my granddaughter Olivia a baby chino, and the same way that everyone makes baby chinos, you put in the strawberry topping to start with, and then the milk that's been frothed, and you mix that around and make sure it's strawberry milk, and then you fill it up with froth, and then you put the hundreds and thousands on, and then the sprinkles. And so you make sure it's accompanied with a snake on the side, a lolly snake on the side. I didn't have any marshmallows, otherwise it would have been a pink and a white marshmallow as well. So just the standard way in which everyone makes a baby chino for their granddaughter. But in just that moment, all Olivia said was, "Oh, Poppy, you make the best baby chinos." And it's not much of a and I didn't even have the marshmallows. But in that moment, there is this thing that takes place within you that can't be denied. There is this feeling of great joy and satisfaction and the whole world is just a wonderful place in that moment as she declares she is thankful for this thing. You think it's such a little thing. But I can tell you, I just felt like the richest person out there in that moment as I'm looking at my granddaughter enjoying her baby chino. You imagine what it's like for God as you and I choose to just take those moments when we recognize what God has done for us and we just utter those words, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me." And it might be the littlest thing, or we might be thanking him for salvation. But I just imagine God walking around with a big smile on his face. And in that moment, he's just thinking, "It's all okay. It's all okay. It is all about being thankful." Last week, we looked at the story of Naaman. And if you remember, the story of Naaman is about a man, a high-ranking official who had leprosy. And how he struggled with that leprosy. And he knew that there was nothing that could heal him. And he needed a miracle. And God gave him that miracle. And the way in which, even though he didn't deserve it, there was nothing about Naaman's life that said he deserved this miracle. He received God's grace, God's undeserved favor. And one of the things we highlighted is that's what all of us have. We all have God's grace. Undeserved favor. Not one of us deserve to be in the privileged place we are as children of God. It's only because of his grace. Well, this week we come face to face with 10 men who are also in need of a miracle. And Mari has read that for us today, and it's a great story. And we see that as we look at this story, these 10 men have leprosy or some other skin disease, and I say some other skin disease because sort of in that time of history, they didn't really know all the things of skin diseases, and so anything that looked like a bit of a skin disease, they kind of labelled it as leprosy to be safe, that you can put them all in a leper's colony, and that way there was not a chance of it spreading out. So they may have had any kind of skin disorder, but it was certainly leprosy. And I don't say that to discredit what's going to take place, except to say that the society was in a bit of a mess. Anyone saw that they had a skin disorder, everyone panicked. And it was that sort of place. It's interesting that all these 10 men, there's one thing that stands out with them, and is they all had this leprosy, and therefore they were all considered equal. They were all considered lepers. You'll notice in verse 12, Luke declares Jesus met 10 men with leprosy. That's a really unusual declaration, because normally what the declaration would have been is it would have been something like Jesus met 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. There wouldn't have been a sense in which these 10 people belong together. You make sure that Jews and Samaritans are not ever mentioned almost in the same sentence. But because of the disease they had, they come together. Jesus met 10 men. You probably know the reason that Samaritans weren't liked is because they were kind of half-caste, not proper Jews. And so they were considered less than the Jews. In verse 13, we see they stood at a distance and they called down in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The thing that stands out in that declaration is not one of them actually declares what they actually want. They say have pity on us or have mercy on us, but not one of them actually yells out what they really want. The declaration isn't, "Jesus, come and heal us." That's not what they declare. They don't declare, "Jesus, come and get rid of this leprosy." Or, "Jesus, come and give us some food." Or, "Jesus, could you get us a pillow and a nice bed to lie on?" There's not this awareness of what they're even asking after, except have pity on us, is all they say. For me personally, as I read these words being spoken, what I hear them saying is something, "Jesus, please don't cast us aside." That's what everyone else does. Everyone else has just cast us aside. Everyone has got no time for us. But Jesus, would you give us your time? I think that's the first part of their plea, to have someone who has authority, who will just give them a compassionate listening ear. And that in itself would have been a great gift for all of them. I wonder whether these 10 men knew that Jesus had healed others from leprosy. And that's something that we don't actually know, and you can kind of work that out for yourself. I think the fact that they're probably set aside means they probably don't get all the news coming round. So they may have known that Jesus had cured others of leprosy, and they may not have. We don't really know that. But I think what really stands out here is these 10 men knew that they needed to spend some time with Jesus. I think one of the things that stands out to me is that not everyone in society knows what they're looking for. I think there are lots of people out there who go, "We need to find answers for life. Life is not going the way I think it should. Life is a mess." And they're looking everywhere for the answers. And somewhere along the line, you just want to go, "You need Jesus." We don't have to go into all the details about you need salvation, you need to confess your sins, and you need to lay them down, and all of those. We don't even need to go into that. Because I think all we need to do is say, to start with, you need Jesus. And then for them to start the journey of discovering all that Jesus offers. It needs to become a journey of the heart. It needs to be a journey where they are seeking life's answers. So were these lepers looking for a miracle on that day? I'm not really sure. But they needed to have an encounter with Jesus. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. So all 10 headed off. I wonder what attitude they headed off with. Did they head off excited? Because as Jesus said, "Go," you've got to understand that all the leprosy is still there. As Jesus says, "Go, show yourself to the priest," they're walking off and they're going, nothing's actually happened. They're still absolutely lepers. It's not like as they took that first step, all the leprosy disappeared. No, they headed off in the same state to which they were in. So maybe they were confused. Maybe they're a little disappointed. who knows exactly what feelings they were going through. As they left Jesus, they still had leprosy and they were still lepers. At this point in time, they hadn't experienced a miracle. They just left in that same state. But you have to believe that as they left, they really thought to themselves something special was going to unfold on that day. As they leave, Jesus and are walking, the leprosy just disappears. It just disappears. They're walking along and I don't even know whether they realise the moment when one moment they had it and the next moment they didn't, but it just all disappears. It's an amazing moment. You can imagine how extraordinary it must have been as they looked and realised that the leprosy was gone. In some ways, they got it a little easier than Naaman. Like, if you remember, Naaman had to dunk in the river 7 times. You know, whereas these fellas are just walking along and it all disappeared. Mind you, Naaman makes a better children's story than just walking along and the leprosy disappeared. So I'm thankful that Naaman had to do that for children's story's sake. But it's at this point that they realise why Jesus had declared, go show yourself to the priest. They probably wondered why he'd said that briefly. But they say, now we know why Jesus said, show yourself to the priest. Because at this point, even though their leprosy had gone, they still weren't clean. Even though it had all disappeared, they still weren't considered clean. They still were considered as lepers in the sight of the Jewish law. And they could only have that change when a not insignificant process went underway. And so it was going to take quite a process for them to be clear and no longer lepers. So 9 of them actually obeyed Jesus. I hope you notice that in the story. 9 of them are not being horrible, nasty people, are not these people that we want to paint as villains. They're actually doing exactly what Jesus has asked them to do. Like I say, we can be guilty of painting them as horrible people, and that's not necessarily the case. Jesus actually made some very clear instructions. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And that's what they were doing. They were going to show themselves to the priest. Now, that's not an easy process, by the way. Just in case you're wondering, oh, you can just turn up at the priest's house and knock on the door and he says, okay, you're fine, off you go. It's not quite like that. A word needed, firstly, to get to the priest, because the priests were not going to go to the lepers. Okay, so a word had to get to the priest that there were people who had considered themselves to be free of leprosy. Now, that's not an easy process, because if you had been chatting to the lepers and you see that they're free, you can't go to the priest because now you're considered unclean. So the word has to get kind of through 2 or 3 channels before it can get to the priest so that it's a clean message that's getting to the priest. It was either that or the priest used to take certain days. I think there was a day a month when they would turn up outside the leper colony. Is there anyone who considers themselves clean? Please show yourself. So it wasn't like these lepers, these 9, could just turn up the same day and all of a sudden on that day they would be made well. They were actually entering through quite a lengthy process. And then once the priest saw them and it looked like they were relatively clean, an earthen vessel was bought and it was filled with water. And then after that, in addition to that, there were 2 birds that were bought. One of the birds was killed, and its blood was dripped into the earthen jar with the water. So that bird didn't have a particularly good time of it. And so that was killed, put in there. The other bird was taken, and he was dipped in the water. He was dipped in the water with wood and hyssop that was tied with a band of scarlet wool. So he's dipped. And then this bird that's been dipped in the water is sprinkled over the person who had leprosy 7 times. And then after he's been dipped in 7 times, if that bird's still alive, the bird would be untied and would be released into the open field. At that point in time, the leper would be considered clean and could go back to main society. Oh, sorry, on top of that, then they needed to shave themselves completely. They needed to shave themselves completely, they needed to bathe. Then they would be allowed back into society. Of course, everyone could see that they'd been lepers because they're all shaved all over. But they still couldn't go home. There was still a process before they could go home after that. So as Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, this is a lengthy process that they need to go through. And I'm sure you can agree it's quite a difficult process. It's no wonder nine of these men didn't get back to Jesus straight away. Jesus had said, go show yourself to the priest. And so they're going through that whole process, which is quite lengthy. Then in addition to that, I'm sure as they were made clean, they would have wanted to have celebrated with their family, catch up with friends, and all that goes with that. And maybe they had said in their hearts that if they ever saw Jesus in the future, they would thank him. But the tenth gentleman, the Samaritan, when he noticed he had been cured, he saw a different priority. He probably thought to himself at that moment, I can see the priests at any time. This leprosy is gone. I can go to the priest later. That's a long process. What I want to do is I want to go back and I want to thank Jesus first and foremost. He knew who had cured him. He knew he had received a miracle from God himself. And there's actually nothing to indicate that the other nine realized that they got that miracle from God. When he saw he was healed in verse 15, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Everyone could hear what God had done. He's yelling and screaming, jumping up and down and all excited with everything that has happened. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and he thanks him. It's such a beautiful response, and it seems like a natural and right response. How could you do anything else but throw yourself at Jesus' feet to thank you? You have changed my life. Of course, some people have pushed the boundaries a little and said, well, Jesus is the high priest, therefore he was going back to see the priest to be made clean. I think that's pushing all the boundaries of what's taking place here in that story. I think he really thought to himself, this Samaritan, I can go through that whole priest thing tomorrow. I can go through that whole priest thing tomorrow or the day after. It can wait. Right now, I need to thank you. Jesus, in this man's mind, was worthy of his praise. I think we'd all agree with this. There's nothing in this whole event that would ever indicate that the nine men ever even realized that they had an encounter with God himself. That's one of the great problems, isn't it? And I've seen that many times over where I've visited people in hospital and people have had this cry of their heart. If only this would unfold, if only I could be made well, you know, the outlook is not good. And so you go and you speak with them in hospital and you pray with them. And then in the most wonderful way, whether it's through the doctors or the operation or whatever unfolds, they are made well. They get the very prayer that they have prayed is wonderfully delivered to them. And they pack up their bags as they're leaving hospital, and not a word of thanks goes to God. And you think, hang on a second, you just prayed that that's what you would receive, and God has given it to you. Surely you should be thankful. They'll thank the doctors, and rightly so, and they'll be thankful for all the help they got from the nurses. But what about the God who gave them the very request that they had in their heart? How is it that God is just ignored in that moment? People are very quick to get angry with God when things don't go the way we expect. But a little bit slower to be thankful when God does even more than we can think or imagine. I had an interesting experience at the end of last year. It was a moment around the Brightwooders dedication time. I'd been doing some work in our house at home, some heavy machinery kind of work, which is a horrible job, lifting up slate tiles. And if anyone else wants to do that, I'm not helping it because it's a horrible job. But I had these push-in earplugs pushed in my ear as I'm doing the work. And safety first, I've always been a safety first person, you know, and putting the earplugs in. But because of the dirt and the sweat and all of that, my ears were blocked. And I couldn't hear out of either of my ears, and so everything was muffled. And I was down to do the talk at the Brightwaters celebration. And it was frustrating me so much because I didn't know how loud I was speaking, and I couldn't hear what others were saying, so it was incredibly frustrating. My ears had been blocked for a couple of days. And I, just in that moment, in that moment I thought, I really need to have my ears cleared. So I just prayed as the celebration was on, Lord, I just need my ears to be cleared so I can speak and know how loud I'm speaking. And you know, even before I'd finished that prayer, my ears cleared. For the first time in 2 days, they just cleared in that moment. I hadn't even finished praying the prayer, and they had cleared. And I gave the talk, and was all excited. But part of me almost wanted to do exactly what everyone else was doing. Part of me just wanted to go back. Wasn't that fortunate that my ears just cleared before I went up to speak? Or I kind of went, you know, that's not kind of the story that you share with people, because people think that's a bit unrealistic. And so I sort of suppressed the story a little. And yet today I want to say God gave me a miracle in that moment. Extraordinary to think that I could pray the prayer and it was delivered before I'd even said amen. And they never got blocked again. Why is it that I would even be hesitant to share that story when God could have done something so wonderful for me in that moment? There's something about us that holds back from being thankful when God does things beyond what we can ever understand. Jesus said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. This Samaritan not only went with a wonderful healing, he went with the experience of God, and he knew who Jesus was. You know, there are people everywhere crying out for the church to be different. The church needs to go about doing things in a different way. They have all these requests about, I would go to church if the church did things this way, or I would be a part of the church if they changed their stance on different things. And I would think that some of those people might even come to church if we did things differently. But if all they're looking for is the church to be different, then they're going to walk away disappointed people, and people without the joy in their heart. You see, because yes, we can do things differently, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to make sure that the message remains the same. That it is Jesus Christ who we serve. And that we need to proclaim the message of Jesus, that it is all about Jesus and the salvation he offers. That we serve the one true God, and that is a message that can't change. And the other message which we need to deliver is that we are a thankful people for what Jesus has done for us. There was nothing more right today than for Betty to stand here and to thank her God for what he has done. Nothing more right than that. There is nothing more right than for us to declare to the mountaintops how thankful we are for what our God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we need to be a thankful people, and Father, it should just flow so naturally. You have done more than we could imagine. And who are we, Father? It's not like we have deserved this grace that you have shown us. It is undeserved favor. We know that that's the reality. Yet, Father, there are times when we just accept it and move on. Father, just as a little four-year-old finds herself just wanting to say thank you to her poppy for making a baby tuna, just as there are lepers who are wanting to come and thank Jesus, Father, I pray that we will have that same natural response, where what we just want to do, we choose to do from the very depths of our being, is declare, Lord, we love you and we are thankful for what you have done. And we don't care who hears it, because we are excited about the life we live that's founded in Jesus Christ. And this we pray in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, who is our Savior.